రామాయ రామభద్రాయ రామచంద్రాయ వేదసే రఘునాథాయ నాథాయ సీతాయాహ్పతయే నమః. అయోధ్యకాండ చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 67. A kingless Ayodhya. The recitation begins now. The age-long night drew to a close and its horrors were heightened by the waves of misery and grief that rolled over the inhabitants of Ayodhya. The god of day took his seat on his throne of light, and it was a sign for the officers of state and brahmanas to meet in the hall of audience for high debate. Markandeya, Maudgalya, Vamadeva, Kashyapa, Katyayana, Gautama, Jabali, and the far-famed and other saintly brahmanas and ministers addressed themselves to Vasishtha, the high priest, and said, "The night has passed and it seemed to us would never end. Could it be otherwise when our king has preferred death to separation from his son? Well, the Maharaja has gone back to his seat on high. Rama roams afar in the wild woods. The glorious Lakshmana never quits his side. Bharata and Shatrughna spend happy days at Rajagriha, the home of their grandsire and the capital of Kekiya realm. It is imperative that someone of the princess should sit on the throne of Ikshvaku. We betray our trust by abandoning this kingdom to anarchy and destruction. Varuna and Indra turn away from a kingless land and send not the welcome showers to cool the burning plains, or at best hail and snow. No one troubles himself to till the fruitful soil. The son pays no heed to the words of the father. The wife seeks to rule the husband. No one dares to keep with him the things precious or valuable for fears of thieves and robbers. No one can at any moment call his wife his own, for she might be torn from him by a lawless and mightier kinsman. This is only an earnest of many other horrors and terrors that march towards a kingless land. Trade and commerce, sale and barter, import and export, borrowings and lendings are ever conspicuous by the absence of fair dealing and honesty. Life of fear and property throttles everyone's energies and kills in him any desire for united action and counsel for public good. In a land where might is right and violence an order of the day, no one is fool enough to plant gardens or open almshouses, rest houses, or monasteries. A calm and self-restrained Brahmana, the ruler of his senses, regular in his observances and vows, and conducting the prescribed rites and ceremonies that tend towards public and private happiness, such a one is just a myth. Possessors of untold wealth are never inclined to celebrate yagas and yajnas on a large scale with bounteous sacrificial fees and gifts. For who would attract by his wealth or appearance of it the robbers or the royal officers who are no better? Masters of song and dance never conduct the temple festivities. The sacred spots and waters are powerless to attract huge crowds of pilgrims, for both conduce to the material and spiritual welfare of the state. No merchant thrives in his trade. Bards and minstrels, teachers and expounders of the sacred lore, never gladden and elevate the hearts and intellects of the people, for where could you gather an audience who would be so free from care and anxiety as to be inclined to listen to such themes? No profound scholars or literati would meet one another in the halls of learning and hold subtle disputes, for who would arrange such peaceful and profitable meetings? Who has the time or the means to reward them as they deserve? You do not come across young maidens in public gardens in gay attire, gathering the star-like flowers or disporting themselves in cool waters, for the thief is ever present. No happy party is coursing fast in their graceful conveyances to the woods, for robbers and lawless men infest every road and path. Men grown rich through farming or agriculture never enjoy the watchful care and protection of the king and sink into the arms of sleep with doors that no bolts are fastening. There go not along the royal roads elephants 60 years old ever en route with gleaming tusks and melodiously sounding bells. No more falls upon the ear the martial twang of the bow and the whir of the flying arrows as the young warriors take degrees in the science of archery. No caravans of merchants journey to far countries with the wealth of a kingdom in their packs. No recluse, no hermit, no anchorite, no man of God that with controlled self keeps away from the madding crowd's ignoble strife and moves all alone with the glorious image of the Lord ever enshrined in his heart of hearts, finding a happy home wherever night chances to overtake him. For where is he who would feed such a one? No acquiring of fresh wealth and goods, nor peaceful possession of what was earned with labor and toil. No armies that cheerfully march to battle and either return with victory or die where they stand with grim faces turned towards the foe. No well-dressed citizens move about the town on business or pleasure in palanquins or chariots or on horses or elephants. Experts in the Shastras never hold converse on high themes in the ashramas of the rishis or in the gardens about the town. You come upon no devout or pious crowds of men and women hastening to the fanes of the gods to offer proper worship with reverent offerings of garlands, cakes, fruits or money. No bands of youthful princes adorned with sandal, aloe or other perfumes, like stately trees over whom spring has thrown her flowered robes, like a dried up watercourse or a grassless meadow or a masterless herd, the kingless land comes to no good. A banner is the living sign of a chariot. Smoke proclaims the presence of fire, and our majesty, who was our living representative and sign, has chosen to quit this world for that of the gods. In a kingless land, none dares to call anything his own. Like fish in the ocean, the great feed upon the small, and they upon the smaller, and so on ad infinitum. Those that were severely punished by the king for falling away from the duties of their rank and order, those who proclaim and live a godless life, this is their day of glory and power. They wreak their hoarded vengeance upon the good and the innocent, and the world will laud them to the skies as great men and holy. The eye ever seeks the good of the body and keeps off evil. Even so, a king stands between his subjects and evil. He is the horn of plenty through which showers on them every comfort and luxury. Truth and dharma have their springs in him. Nay, he is truth, he is dharma. He makes every provision for the high-born men to discharge the duties of their order unimpeded. He is the father of his subjects, he is their well-wisher and benefactor. The god of death is entrusted but with the adjustment of karmic results. Kubera is charged but with the dispensing of wealth to those who deserve it. The three worlds look forward to Indra but to protect them. It devolves upon Varuna but to hold all beings to the laws of life. And these four regions of the four quarters rule but over a portion of the population of the earth. But the king combines in himself the functions of all the four. He is the sole protector and ruler of all the quarters, hence the regions stand infinitely below him. Alas, if there be no king in a country to inquire into right and wrong, this world and all it contains would grow dark with ignorance and sin, as when the night of dissolution wraps it in its deadly folds. The mighty ocean does not overstep its confines. Even so, your word was gospel to us when His Majesty was alive, and now it is doubly sacred. O best and wise of Brahmanas, resolve well in your mind our pitiable condition that roam like masterless herd. Cast your eyes on this fair realm, now no better than a howling wilderness, and place over us any deserving son of Dasharatha as our king. Mangalam Kushlendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dharnurjaya Sarva Bhomaya Mangalam.